To welcome everybody back from the, I guess, the summer hiatus, is that what we call it? Okay, just checking. Or Ben Azmanin, right? Ben Azmanin, he said. But not Chofesh, right? No. So, yes, I do. What's that?
You're having a bris on Yom Kippur.
Yes, we're having a bris on Yom Kippur. Are we going to talk about it? You know what? Maybe we'll try to work it in if we can. What? Nice, Knivas Yerek. I like it. Kufi Nalan. Okay.
What baby?
My daughter.
Moriah.
Yeah, Moriah. First son, and you're doing it. Thank you very much.
Let's take it.
Vayikra. Sorry about that. Yeah. And a Gemara Yuma, if you have. Yeah. Okay. So we will begin after. We wanted to have one shiur before Yom Kippur. You know, that's traditional in the shiur to do something before Yom Tov. And then the limud will be in the beginning of Bava Kamma, and we'll begin with that after Sukkot, which I don't know the date, but somebody probably can figure it out, right?
Anyone with a phone in the calendar.
Okay, well, whatever it is, I guess the Monday night after, unless it's like Motsoi, in which case it. Do we have a date?
October 8th.
October 8th.
For those who don't have work.
October 8th. So October 8th, we'll try to have Mar Makomos. Oh, wow. See, we have a Choshava David Aryeh himself. Wow. Okay. I have to prepare this year. Okay. For tonight, I thought we would just do one topic, preparing for Yom Kippur. And, we'll see if we can work it in a little bit, again, we had a personal simcha, the birth of a grandson, but as you just heard, the bris milah is on Yom Kippur. So I don't know how many people have experienced, I've never experienced that before. But it's an interesting.
We have.
What? You have?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, well, we'll talk. In family?
Our son. And his first son.
Oh, really?
Daniel. Mm-hmm.
Daniel?
Yes, Daniel.
Oh, I did not know. Okay, mm-hmm. We really should talk. Okay, so, what does that have to do? You know, is there any way to link that with Yom Kippur itself? So I wasn't really sure about this, but then a little bit of detective work. Okay, yeah.
It has the real.
Right. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. So we'll see if we can work it in just a little bit. What? No. I'll try with this one. And okay. So I do want to speak a little bit about Achila on Yom Kippur. The last couple of years, I think we spoke mostly on Erev Yom Kippur about Inyanei Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol part, but in order to work in, I guess, the Bris Milah aspect, I see the Kew Gardens. I tried to leave a message. I hope you weren't looking for me. Okay. In order to work in, the Bris Milah part, we'll probably have to make a reference to the Avodas Yom Kippurim too, if we make it to that. Okay. So let me begin by saying that, Kedarkenu, that Yom Kippurim is an extraordinarily unusual holiday. I always begin with the Psukim in Parshas Emor. And I'd like to, highlight the unusual nature of Yom Kippur and speak about, two of its aspects, if possible, beginning with Emor. The first encounter that we have in the presentation of the Torah's description of Yom Kippurim, is with the jarring word Ach. The Parsha, of course, of Emor begins in the beginning of Perek Chav Gimel, Daber B'nei Yisrael Emor. We're told all of the various Moedim. And when it comes to Yom Kippur, every Moed is introduced in its proper way. Then the Torah says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimar." This is in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chavav. Ach be'asar lachodesh hashvi hazeh. right, on the 10th day of the 7th month, Yom HaKippurim Hu, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, V'nisim Esnaf Shoseichem, V'kraftem Isha LaHashem. So the first word, literally, that we encounter with regard to Yom Kippur is the word Ach. And the Gemara says in Masechet Shavuos, I believe we talked about this 2 years ago, the Gemara says on Yud Gimel Amin Aleph that Kol Achin V'rakin Shebetorah Miutim, obviously the word Ach, the reason it's a bit jarring is because it's always intended to exclude something, right? It's a contrast, essentially. So the presentation of Yom Kippur already, the first word, sets it apart from the others, right? Kol achin v'rakin shevatorim yutim. The Gemara's explanation is mechaper hu l'shavim, ena mechaper al she'enam shav. And I think 2 years ago that that's a topic that we discussed, whether Yom Kippur is mechaper, the machlokas rabbi, the chachamim, and the tzibur aspect of kaparas Yom Kippurim, etc. However, other mefarshim interpret ach in different fashion. Rajbam, for example, is Bishar Yomim Tovim, Hutru Malachas Ochol Nefesh, V'Neseres Malachas Avoda. Aval Yom Kippurim, Shu Yom Inui, right? Kol Malacha Asura Kishabas. So that's fascinating. According to the Rajbam, the word ach here is intended to exclude the qualification that applies relative to Shabbos and the other Moadim, namely that Hetero Ochol Nefesh is permitted, that only what we call, to use the Ramban's phrase, Malecha Savoda, right, the Torah's phrase, but the way the Ramban understands it, Malecha Savoda means to the exclusion of Hetero Ochol Nefesh. So that applies in all the Yom Tovim. It doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur, you have the full complement of Isur Malacha. Okay. Now, if the din of Isur of Hetero Ochol Nefesh was contingent only upon the obligation to have Suda and Simcha, you know, on a Yom Tov, then probably the word Ach, you know, would not be a good basis, you know, to make this point, because the Torah, anyways, in a couple of minutes, is going to tell us that there's a fast on Yom Kippur, V'nisim Esnaf Shoseichem, V'kraftem Isha LaHashem, and the Torah goes on two more times to speak about the Tainus. It's clear that according to the Rajbam, that the word Ach, rejecting Heter Ochol Nefesh, is more than and is separate from, presumably, the Tainus. Obviously it's connected to the Tainus, but it's not directly correlated. This is a major debate in general, whether Heter Ochol Nefesh has anything to do with Chiyuv Suda V'Simcha, or it has to do with the nature of Isur Malacha on particular Yom Tov. This is a major, major argument. As I mentioned before, the Ramban in Parshas Emor explains that the if you look carefully in the Torah, that in Parshas Bo, the Torah explicates the Heter of Ochol Nefesh on Yom Tov, right? Ach, it says Ach there also. Ach asher yochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yeaseh lachem. Torah says about Chagamatzos that you're not allowed to do malacha on Chagamatzos, what we call Pesach. Ach asher yochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yeaseh lachem. What about other Yom Tovim? Is there a Heter Ochol Nefesh? So the Gemara does not, the Torah does not anywhere explicate that there is. We know, you know, our Mesorah is that there, that there's a Heter Ochol Nefesh. The Mishnah says, Ein Bein Shabbos L'Yom Tov El Ochol Nefesh Bilvad. Right? It's taken as a given that aside from Yom Kippur, every other holiday has a Heter Ochol Nefesh. Where does it come from? So the view of the Ramban in Parshas Emor, it's a very well known, and we've talked about it a lot in the past, is that the phrase in the Torah that is used with regard to Isur Malacha on Yom Tov, aside from Parshas Bo, where it's Kol Malacha, but it's qualified Ach Asher Yachel L'Chol Nefesh, is the phrase or the expression Meleches Avoda. Ramban says, unlike Rashi, it was a different pshat, that Meleches Avoda comes to exclude Heter Ochol Nefesh. So he says, we know that when you put together the Pasuk and Bo, and the use of Malacha Savoda in Emor, and in a few other places as well. So it's quite possible that Ramban's intent is to tell us two things. Number one, he's explaining how we know in the Torah that there's a heter ochel nefesh and other yamin tovin. But more importantly, the Ramban may be a signaling or signifying that the din that there is a heter ochel nefesh on other yam tovim, right, is a din, it's an internal limit in Isra Malacha. It's because the only thing that's asur is Malachas Avoda. In other words, as opposed to what I mean to contrast it with, not because there's a chiyuv of Seuda, the Simcha, therefore that overrides what otherwise would be Isra Malacha and allows us to, to cook and to bake and so on Yom Tov, but rather, independently, separately, the Isra Malacha of Shabbos is one concept, and it surely exerts important influence on Isra Malacha on Yom Tov. That is for sure the case. That's probably why Shabbos is the introduction to the Malacha, to Isra Malacha and to Moed in general in Parshas Hamor. But there's still a very fundamental conceptual difference between Isra Malacha on Shabbos and Isra Malacha on Yom Tov. Isra Malacha on Shabbos, Shavo Shavas Mikol Malachto Asher Bara Lakim La'asos. It's the anniversary of the rest from the creation or the conclusion of the creation of the world. Well, Isra Malacha on Yom Tov, right, doesn't seem to have that kind of status. I've spoken about this in the past. Because that, Chag HaMatzos isn't the anniversary of Ribono Shel Olam, concluding and resting after creating the world, and neither is Shavuos, and neither is Sukkos, and neither is Rosh Hashanah, neither is Yom Kippur for that matter. So the very notion of Isra Malacha, which clearly is carried over from Shabbos, the way I try to explain it is that Shabbos defines a Yom Kodesh, and therefore Isra Malacha, which is the salient feature of Shabbos, is exported to the Yamim Tov. But in the end of the day, right, the role of Isra Malacha and Shabbos and on Yom Tov are different. Because necessarily, they have to be different. In Shabbos, that's what the theme of the day, that's what the day is all about. Kivo Shavas Mikol Malachto Ashabar Lekim Lasos. And in Yom Tov, it's the paradigm of a Yom Kodesh or a Mikra Kodesh, to put it more succinctly. So there is an Isra Malacha, but it's different. And those differences express themselves in numerous ways. It's not as chamor, there's malchus, right, but there's no korban, bishkaga, there's no misa, b'mezid. I'm talking about regular Yom Tov for now. There's no chiluk malachos on Shabbos every time you violate an independent malacha. Shigas Shabbos and Zadon, Shigas Malacha and Zadon Shabbos, you bring a separate korban. That's not the case, when it comes to Yom Tov. There's no Chiluk Malachos. We'll perhaps get to certain other distinctions as well. And that is all a result of there being this important distinction. So if that's the case, right, then the question arises when it comes to Yom Kippur, why is there no Heter Ochel Nefesh? Why isn't Isra Malacha limited to Meleches Avoda? The same way that it is, right, on Rosh Hashanah, for that matter, or Sukkot, or Shavuos, or Chag HaMatzos. Right? If the reason were directly the Chi of Suda, the Simcha, which overrides, which is the view of others, the Shagas Aryeh understood that way, the Netziv, some of the Rishonim probably understood it that way, then it's understandable that Yom Kippur, where there's a Chi of Tzom, doesn't have that status. But if, these are two separate issues, or if they're related, they're related through a common theme, but they're not directly consequent one on the other. So why is Yom Kippur different? Why does Yom Kippur have a full complement of Isra Malacha? But at the same time, when the Rashbam says that ach, that the first word that the Torah uses, right, teaches us that there's no heter ochel nefesh, even though a few words later the Torah is going to tell us v'nisa v'snafshas seichem, we can totally understand why that is an independent comment. However, it also raises the profile and the significance, in other words, of this distinction. If the first thing the Torah tells us about Yom Kippur is ach, it's unusual. And if according to some Mefarshim, that ach expresses itself in the complement of Isra Malacha, surely that seems to be something that characterizes the day. And the question is why? Why should it? And why? And in what way does it? And we'll certainly get back to this as well. The Sfarno, Afal pi shabashar mikroi kodesh, roi lismoach ulis aneg, gamba chilo ushtia, kamru ichlo mashmane mushtumam takim, referring even to Rosh Hashanah, which we'll get back to, vishulcho manos lein achondo, ki kadosh ayom ladunenu, mikomakom, the asol achodesh, uyom akipurim, lizvados, lizonen geral chatav, ene yom simcha vaoneg, or vitanug, aval huyom inui. Kamaro, vinisim esnaf shosechem, the craft of Isha, who in and Kabanos Kohen Gadol, Kabanos Tzibur Haboim Lekapara. The Sfarno says that the Ach doesn't refer to Isra Malacha, like the Rajbam, but it does refer to Seuda, Simcha, Vinisim. Even if we're going to say Vinisim, it's like we want you to know right at the first word in the presentation of Yom Kippur, you should know that the din of Vinisim isn't just, you know, the Achilas Matzos, you know, or the Tkiyas Shofar, or the Yeshiva Basukah, or the Natilas Lulav, you know, of its holiday. It's more than that. Ach. It really completely defines what Yom Kippur is. So according to the Rajbam, Yom Kippur is defined by this added Yisra Malacha. According to the Sfarno, it's defined by V'nissim V'snaf Shaseichem. Either way, we really need to understand what this Ach idea, right, is really all about. But it's much more than that. There was a question before I continue. Was somebody had a question? I saw a hand. No? We took care of it. No?
I just wanted to suggest maybe it's related to Shabbat.
Yeah.
Shabbat Shabbat. The connection between Yom Kippur and Shabbos is not a dated factor, but some kind of...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, 100%. I mean, the Yisra Malacha part. Obviously not the Suda part, but we'll talk about that. What do we mean when we call Yom Kippur Shabbos Shabbaton? Clearly in the Torah, it's not just the Melitza B'Alma, oh, this is a great and important, you know, and significant day. There's a lot of evidence that there are substantive connections with Shabbos, and the Yisra Malacha part for sure is part of that. But then again, the Ach is telling us that, in other words, Parshas Mo'adim begins with Shabbos. There's a debate whether Shabbos is considered really a moed or something different. 2 days in Ramban, Chazal, big argument. Then it transitions into the Moedim, and then the Ach is telling us, but Yom Kippur is a kind of a Shabbos. That's what it would be. But that's significant. What does it mean it's a Shabbos if it isn't the Shabbos? There's no Shavuot Shavas and Kol Malachto, right? So we still have to explain it. But in Achanam, that's part of where we are going. If we look at the Parsha and the presentation of the Torah, that's my beginning all of this, it's striking. There are other, much more subtle. It's not just that the word Ach, differentiates or distinguishes this Chag, as if to say it's more different than any other Chag. The actual presentation, right, confirms this. And this is something I pointed out many, many times. But I think it's a key, you know, to appreciating and understanding what Yom Kippur is really all about. If you read the Psukim, Ach be'asar l'chodesh ha'shvi'i azeh, Yom ha'kippurim hu. And then the Torah says, Mikra Kodesh yelachem. Right? It's Yom Kippur, a Mikra Kodesh. And then we're told, V'nisem esnaf shoseichem, V'kravtem ishalashem. So again, if you read these Psukim in isolation, there's nothing unusual about them per se. There's no difficulty in reading the pasuk. What is striking is when you begin to contrast it or to compare and contrast it with the presentation in the Torah of every other moed. Every moed connects Mikra Kodesh with Yisra Malacha, right? With the exception of Yom Kippur. Now the word Mikra Kodesh, as we've explained many times before Moadim, the whole parsha is the parsha of Mikra Kodesh. Elam Moadei Hashem Asher Tikro Sam Mikra Kodesh. This is the parsha in which Shabbos is called Mikra Kodesh for the first time. Even though Shabbos is mentioned in the Torah numerous times. Like we say in our Kiddush about Shabbos, Yom Techila L'Mikra Kodesh. Because Parshas Emor, Shabbos, introduces the Moadim. Mikra Kodesh is basically the term that the Torah uses, beginning in Amar, to describe a Yom Kodesh, a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. Let's say, aside from Shabbos, for our purposes, a generic Yom Tov. Every Moed is a Mikra Kodesh. But every Mikra Kodesh in the Torah is linked to Isra Malacha, with the exception of Yom Kippur. As I read it, Yom Kippurim hu, Mikra Kodesh yelachem, being Nisa Mesnaf Shosechem, v'kraftim Yishal Hashem. Right? Chagamatzos, Chagashavuos, we'll see in a minute Rosh Hashanah, because that's particularly an interesting contrast. Every Chag is connected in that way. And the idea behind it is, why is there Isra Malacha on Pesach and on Shavuos and on Sukkos and on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is because it's a Yom Tov. In that sense, they're all the same because it's a generic quality that all the Yom Tovim have in common. Right? They're all very specific. Each one has a specific character, right? And each one has a general, you know, a blueprint as well. The generic part of every Yom Tov is the Mikra Kodesh. And that includes Isra Malacha. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, that's not how the Torah presents it. Almost as if the Torah is telling us, read carefully how I use Mikra Kodesh, or how we use Mikra Kodesh in every one of the Moadim, and notice that it's used here differently. How is it used here? As if to say, what is generic in other Moadim is particularistic on Yom Kippur. Ki Yom Kippurim hu, Mikra Kodesh yelachem, v'nisim esnaf shoseichem. V'kravtem ishal Hashem. As if to say, there is no generic Yom Tov on Yom Kippur. And then the next words are, after we've connected Mikra Kodesh with the very unique expression of v'nisim esnaf shoseichem, v'chol malacha lo sasu, right? It's not a malacha savoda, the only one of the Moadim here, right, that doesn't have Malacha Savoda, which according to Ramban is because there's no Hatra Ochol Nefesh. Either way, there's no Hatra Ochol Nefesh, an issue which we were wondering about. Right? Be'etzem Ayom Azeh. Why is there no Malacha? And then the Torah repeats it again. Because it's Yom Tov? No. Ki Yom Kippurim hu. L'chaper aleichem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. There's no Yisra Malacha. There's Yisra Malacha because it's Yom Kippur. Not because it's Yom Tov. It's part of L'chaper Aleichem L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. Then the Torah continues, Ki kol nefesh asher lo tu'uneh be'etzem ayom hazeh v'nichrasa me'ameha, a second reference to the obligation to fast. V'chol nefesh asher tasa kol malacha be'etzem ayom hazeh. Now we're back with a second reference of Yisr Malacha. Kol nefesh asher tasa kol malacha be'etzem ayom hazeh v'avadet yisr nefesh ayim mekerav amo. Same onesh for fasting and for malacha. Kol malacha lo sasu, a third reference, like there are three references to inui, there are three references to malacha. Kukasal modor sechem b'chomo shosechem, Shabbos shabbason hu lachem, which you said, here's where we have Shabbos shabbason, and again, the third, v'nisa mesnaf shosechem, b'tisha lachodesh ba'erev, me'erev ad'erev, tish besu shabbatchem. So what happens in this parsha is it begins with ach, right? Which, again, may refer to either Shabbos, the Shabbos-type Isur Malacha, right, Rajbam, or the difference in terms of Suda B'Simcha and V'Nisem, anticipating V'Nisem, like the Sfarnu or others, also say this, right? Then you have a Mikra Kodesh, which isn't generic, but is specific. Then, what normally follows from the generic Mikra Kodesh, namely Isur Malacha, is tied to the specifics of Yom Kippur. And then you have the Torah almost interchanging V'nisem and Isra Malach. They go back and forth between the two. It's each one's mentioned three times, each one has the same onesh, and if you were to close your eyes and be asked, you know, to predict what's next, you couldn't do it. You'd be dizzy. Right, the Torah is going back and forth between these two things, giving the impression that what we're dealing with here is two sides of a single coin. that Ki Yom HaKippurim Hu L'Chaper Al Chatoseichem, right, is expressed in two different ways, each of which, again, is singular and specific to Yom Kippur, not at all generic to Yom Tov. One is V'nisim es nafshaseichem, and the other is Kol Melacha Lo Sas. That's the impression you get from Torah Shabbat itself. Right? Ad kedei kach that you might even want to ask the question, like, what's it doing in Parshas Moedim? That's a little extreme, probably. Interestingly, right, the Rambam kind of did address that issue in a classificatory way. Meaning, in Parshas Emor, the order is Shabbos, and then, you know, you go according to the calendar, you know, from Pesach to Sukkot. Right? And Yom Kippur is where it is along the, you know, continuum after Rosh Hashanah, before Sukkot. In the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, right, the structure of things is Hilchos Shabbos, then you have Hilchos Yom Tov, right? And then comes Pesach, Shavuot, Sfiras HaOmer, the whole business, right? And then you have, you know, the Tisha B'Av and all of that, and then you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, right? Chanukah, Purim, fine. That's an order which follows the Psukim, basically, in Parshas Emor, and which is calendarically very sound. However, the Rambam, again, is something we've talked about, but it bears repeating. The Rambam changed the order. And his change is not a natural change, it has to be a contemplative change. Right? What the Rambam did was Shabbos, Erevin, Shvisas Osar Yom Kippur, basically, we'll talk about that first, Yom Kippur, right? And then Yom Tov, and then Chametzu Matzah, and so on. And then Pesach, and sequentially, you know, till the end, till the order. So the Rambam basically chose to deal with the laws of Yom Kippur, right, in the context, the aftermath of Shabbos, and deliberately before Yom Tov. I believe that the Rambam was super impressed by Torah Shabbat Tzav's formulation, and I believe that it convinced him that there is no generic quality at all to Yom Kippur. Not all Rishonim agree with this. It has nafkamina. We've talked other years about it. Chol HaMesukan, does he make Kiddush? You know, those kind of questions. But I believe the Rambam's view is Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. It's Ach, it's Mikra Kodesh is V'Nisem, it's Isra Malacha, all of it is unique, all of it is different. Moreover, the fact that the Rambam calls, you know, the Dinim of Yom Kippur, Shvisas Asar, right, obviously puts it in the orbit of Shabbos. Shvisas Asar deals with two topics. One topic is the topic of Isra Malacha. That's how the Rambam begins with Shvisas Asar. But three quarters or two thirds of the treatment of Shvisas Asar is about the tzom, about the fast day. And yet both of them are called Shvisa. We don't typically speak about not fasting as Shvisa. Right? Shvisa is a term that we associate with Isra Malacha. By integrating the two and by choosing a name which is associated, you know, with one, the one that is actually given less ink by far in this particular presentation, once again, the Rambam seems to be making a point. He makes a point with his classification, with his placement, and with his naming of the parak, of the prakim. And that point being that these two are integrated, Isra Malacha and V'Nisem, and that none of them have to do with Yom Tov. They have to do with Shabbos Shabbason, as you said, and they have to do with, in other words, the very specific nature of Yom Kippur. The truth is that even relative to Rosh Hashanah, right, which is the other possibly, you know, very singular or anti-generic Chag, even relative to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur right, is just sui generis. In the psukim themselves, it's interesting, the Torah presents Rosh Hashanah also in a slightly different fashion. Mikra Kodesh is kind of divided up in Rosh Hashanah. Torah presents Rosh Hashanah in the beginning of this section. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber B'nei Yisrael Lemar, B'chodesh HaShvi B'echad B'chodesh, Yeh Lechem Shabboson, Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh, in the Pasuk. So the Mikra Kodesh, the only exception being Yom Kippur practically, is connected with Zichron Trua, which is the specific theme of Rosh Hashanah. However, unlike Yom Kippur, the next words connect to Mikra Kodesh, albeit in the next pasuk. Kol melecha savod lo sasu v'krafta mishal Hashem. So in Rosh Hashanah, you don't have what you have typically, which is Mikra Kodesh, kol melecha savod lo sasu, but you do have Mikra Kodesh. And then you have kol melecha savod lo sasu. Maybe the Torah is telling us Rosh Hashanah is somewhere in between Yom Kippur and the other Moed. Right? Indeed, when the Rambam speaks in Hilchos Yom Tov about the Yom Tovim, it's a fascinating thing. He lists the Yom Tovim right in the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Aleph. Sheishes Yomim Ha'elu Shasar Nakasu Batzias Malacha Shehein Rishon Ushvi Shal Pesach Rishon Ushmini Shal Chag HaSukos וביום חג השבועות, ובאחד לחודש השביעי, הן הנקראים יום טובים. ושביעי ססקולן שווה שהן אסורים כל מלאכה, and so on. Talks about אחר שיוכל לכל נפש. Of course, what's omitted is Yom Kippur. So Rosh Hashanah is included. Without a name, it's not called the Sukkos, Chag HaShavuos, Shvi Shel Pesach. It's Echad LeChodesh HaShvi, but at least it's included somewhere in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Fascinating. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur clearly constitute something that is separate from the other Moadim, but again, there's still Rosh Hashanah, which partakes of both. We call Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur the Yomim Noraim, right? We speak about the Chagim, right? And Korban Chagiga and everything that goes with it. It refers to the... We speak about Aliyah L'Regel. Parshas Re'eh, right, omits Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Gemara in the end of Megillah speaks about Yadav Hashem es Moadeya. You know, Moadei Hashem b'nei Yisrael, right? It includes, the Gemara says, you know, you have to learn, you know, Hilchos Hachag b'chag, Hilchos Pesach b'pesach, Hilchos Shavuos b'shavuos. Marsha asks the question, what about Hilchos Rosh Hashanah b'Rosh Hashanah, Hilchos Yom HaKippur b'Yom HaKippur? Right? So, what I'm trying to show is that even Rosh Hashanah, when grouped with Yom Kippur, has singular status. The when we talk in Tefillah about the Kedushas Hayom of Chag HaSukkos, Chag HaPesach, right, Chag HaMatzos, what is it that we say? The Kadesh Yisrael Vazman. What do we do when we talk about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? The Kadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron, the Kadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. So there's a famous comment of the Torah Tamima in his Baruch She'amad, Perush that he has on Siddur, where he says that really it's a mistake, right? And it's really there's no reason that we should be specific when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we should generalize when it comes to the other Moedim. You know, but the printers wanted to save a little bit of money, you know, so they don't want to print a separate Machzor or separate, you know, Shmonesres you know, or you know, for each of the chagim. So they wrote like, you know, v'chule, or b'ziv, you know, v'hazmanim, like fill in the one. So you should really say mekadesh Yisrael v'yom, you know, hashavuos, or b'chag hashavuos, b'chag hasukos, b'chag hamatzos. We have very old sidurim. It's pretty clear that that is not correct. But what impelled that conclusion, right, is a good question. Why do we distinguish, right, between the regular chagim and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Why do we say the Kaddish Yisrael, the Hazmanim, and all of them? Or be specific, you know, in all of them. But once again, there seems to be an understanding that the Yomim Noraim are singular. And that even Rosh Hashanah, by virtue of its connection perhaps to Yom Kippur or in its own right, right, constitutes a certain tension with generic Yom Tov. And what is true for Rosh Hashanah is certainly even more true for Yom Kippur. The presentation of the Torah regarding Mikra Kodesh and Ach stand out, and the Rambam's treatment of Shvisas Asar, as opposed to Hilchos Shofar, stands out even more when you consider that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur share this issue or tension in common. They share the tension in common, and yet Yom Kippur is decisively either fully rejecting any kind of generic Yom Tov, or at least completely overriding it, whereas Rosh Hashanah does not. Again, there are all sorts of issues in Rosh Hashanah. Maybe you should fast, maybe you have the right to fast, things we've discussed. Whether you should say, you know, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, right, whether, you know, other expressions of Simcha should apply. Why is there a Heter Ochol Nefesh and Rosh Hashanah? All these questions come up. When it comes to Yom Kippur, though, if there are debates about these issues generally in Rosh Hashanah, right, and often when it comes to Yom Kippur, we take a clearer stand, right, kind of dismissing the general Yom Tov themes. Again, in the Tfilas Arvis, you know, do you say Vaydaber Moshe Smoadei Hashem B'nei Yisrael and then say Tikku B'Chodesh Shofar? Or then say Ki B'Yom HaZeh Yechaper Aleichem? Right? Or do you only say Tikku B'Chodesh and you know, Ki B'Yom HaZeh Yechaper Aleichem? Small, even, you know, issues like that in Mishnah Tfila reflect these tensions, reflect that the question of how we treat the Yom Noraim, how different they are, is up for grabs. But in the end of the day, some of the conclusions highlight that Yom Kippur goes a significant step further than Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban in his Perush al HaTorah links Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur together, even as it is evident that he thinks that Rosh Hashanah is merely the preparation for Yom Kippur. And I don't think that all Rishonim agree with this. I think most Rishonim would take the position that, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are connected, that each represents, you know, a very different and critical independent theme. But the Ramban goes further. The Ramban speaks about this in a number of places. Firstly, the Ramban notes that with the exception of Sfiras HaOmer and Yom Kippur, when the Torah introduces every single moed, it says, Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Leimar, Dabero B'nei Yisrael. Right? Not when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. So in that context, when the Ramban speaks about Sfiras HaOmer, Ramban says that's because Sfiras HaOmer depends on the Korban HaOmer, so they didn't want to interrupt. And then he says, oh, there's another exception. And that is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It says, Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Leimar, by Yom Kippur. It doesn't say, as it says in all the other places, with the exception of the Sfiras HaOmer, Dabero B'nei Yisrael V'marta Aleihem. Why? Ramban says, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are one theme and two themes. They're really one broader idea, broken down into two. So you have the Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Leimar, but you don't have a separate Dabero B'nei Yisrael V'marta Aleihem. I'm going to leave it to the Ramban to pick up on these things. Then later on, when he talks about Rosh Hashanah, a Zichron Trua. So the Ramban makes the following comment. Doesn't like Rashi's chat of Zichron Trua. Right? And he says, in the end, after rejecting Rashi, he says, but what is Zichron Trua? And why do we have a holiday of Rosh Hashanah? Why do we blow the shofar? Why is it a Mikra Kodesh? What is going on Aleph Tishrei that's so important? It's very striking the way he asks the question. In other words, he can't find a satisfactory perush for Zichron Trua, and it kind of, you know, stirs in him like a much more elemental question, and that is like, what is Rosh Hashanah anyway? Says the Ramban, Rosh Hashanah is the preparation for Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur is coming, then you need to prepare for it. And he adds, the preparation should take place, it's a din of the month, a month in which Yom Kippur appears, right, is a month whose Rosh Chodesh, I'm reformulating it a little bit, but this is mostly what it says, is a month, he emphasizes the Rosh Chodesh aspect, whose Rosh Chodesh should be dedicated, right, to the preparation for Yom Kippur. Then he goes on to say that as a Yom HaDin, right, it's a preparation for Yom Kippur, and that Kabbalistically there's a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. One is Rachamim B'Din, the other is Din B'Racham. So it ends up in the Ramban. He has three different, you know, rayas, I guess. These are spaced out in different Rambans. Is the idea that Rosh Hashanah is an introduction to Yom Kippur? The real Mechayev is Yom Kippur itself. Okay, that's why, in some respects, Rosh Hashanah is also a Moed. And in other respects, like Yom Kippur, and as an introduction to Yom Kippur, right, it doesn't have any generic qualities at all. Yeah?
When you say the real Mechayim, I mean, did that diminish the Chiyuv of Rosh Hashanah?
I don't know if it diminishes it, but it makes it... Now, as one could have said, that, you know, Rosh Hashanah plays an equal role to Yom Kippur. There could be no Yom Kippur if there was no Rosh Hashanah. I don't mean just in the preparation sense. You know, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have different ways of dealing, you know, with introspection, you know, and with, you know, once a year, you know, renegotiating and reaffirming the nature of our priorities and our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not obvious that one, I mean, there are aspects of Yom Kippur in terms of Ketz Slichu Mechila Lecha Liyachid Olarabim that are unique, surely. But I think the Ramban's formulation, you know, which follows from his question, like, why is there a Rosh Hashanah anyway? You know, it's partially because Zichron Tru is a very ambiguous term. But I think it is Mechudash that the Ramban is saying that Rosh Hashanah is so adjunct, preparatory to Yom Kippur. I would have said that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are two equal aspects of accomplishing a certain goal, and they accomplish it according to a very logical and not coincidental sequence, right? Each phase accomplishing and being necessary for the other in equal parts. But the Ramban doesn't present it exactly that way. I'm trying to explain that whether you say it my way or the Ramban's way, it, you know, either way would be a different explanation to explain that there are generic aspects of Rosh Hashanah and there are particularistic aspects of it, whereas Yom Kippur is either completely particularistic or far more in any case. Yeah?
Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that Yom Kippur should come before Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, and you're going to do a better job in Din if you do Tshuva in advance. Why is Yom Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur should precede.
Well, that's what he asks. Okay.
So,
it's definitely not in keeping with the ruach of the Ramban, of that Ramban, of that line of the Ramban.
Anyway,
that's okay.
You want to hear the answer? The answer is very beautiful. He said, because Yom HaDin people can relate to, you know, a good year, a good youth, you know, good health, you're going to live, you're going to die. But Tshuva is on a higher level. It's a spiritual kind of atonement. So therefore, we couldn't get to we couldn't get the Yom Kippur without Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. That isn't keeping with the Ramban, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
How did the Ramban do Shofar, and doesn't he see that as monumental?
No, I'm not suggesting that the Ramban trivialize. Ramban, you're asking. He doesn't trivialize Shofar, he doesn't trivialize any of it. He just thinks that it's tafel to a bigger ikar. And it's hachana to a bigger ikar. I mean, on some level it is. On some level it is a process, I think. Clearly. I just think it's striking that the Ramban is more, you know, he's a little more emphatic about, you know, the junior status of Rosh Hashanah that I would have predicted, or that I am fully comfortable with, which sounds like the same is true for you. But he's not, you know, he still thinks it's a critical day. He just thinks Yom Kippur is so overwhelming that preparing for it, you know, is doesn't diminish, you know, the stature of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it actually enhances its stature. Maybe he's machmir on Yom Kippur. He's not makel on Rosh Hashanah. That's what I'm trying to say. But it's a perspective. Okay, so what we're trying to do here is just to take a step back so far from what we've done. We started off with the Pesukim and Parshas Amor. I've suggested that the Torah itself, from the first word and on, treats Yom Kippur differently. And the difference certainly emphasizes that Yom Kippur is kulo Yom Kippur. Not all Rishonim agree that there's no generic component of Yom Kippur. Let's speak for the Rambam for the moment. I believe that's the Rambam's view in his classification. And we try to express this with the word ach, and with two salient motifs on Yom Kippur, which Mefarshim themselves underscore in ways that link them to each other and link them both, you know, as being very ambitious expressions of Yom Kippur. One is the Tzom, and the other is a full complement of Yisur Malach. Right? They're either mentioned in the Ach, both of them are, you know, connected to Yikiyom HaKippurim, and in the Torah itself, there's a parallel in their presentation and their interchangeability. From there, I went on to just demonstrate even further that the Torah's presentation is particularly striking when you contrast it not only to the other Yom Tovim, but even to the other one of the Yomim Noraim, namely Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah does have some of the aspects of Yomim Noraim. It too, to use the Rambam's expression, there's no Hallel, that's in the Mishnah, but the Rambam explains in Uchas Chanukah and Pirush Mishnayos that the reason we don't say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is because they're not Yimei Simcha, Yaseira, they're Yimei Yira V'Fachad. He says it about both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So there are aspects of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that clearly overlap, and according to the Ramban, Rosh Hashanah has to be seen anyways as being preparatory to and integrated with Yom Kippur. And even then I'm trying to show that both the Torah Shebichsav and the Dinim, right, still allow for Rosh Hashanah to have a generic Yontif component, while Yom Kippur either doesn't or it's still much more muted or overridden by its particularistic component. And the question is, what does it all mean? What is the significance of Yinisa Mitznach Shaseichem? Why is there a full complement of Yisur Malacha on Shabbos, if on Yom Kippur, if it isn't Shavo Shavas Mikol Malachto? How do these two things connect with each other? And what are the implications for our understanding of Yom Kippur? Huh. So to explain this a little bit better, I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes on V'Nisa Mesnach Shoseichem, and then I'll get back to how I think this connects also with Yisur Malacha, as well. I should also add, without going into the psukim, that the relationship between Mikra Kodesh, V'Nisem, and Yisur Malacha, which I've tried to present in Emor, is singular for Yom Kippur. That pattern is completely upheld by the psukim in the Torah in the other parshios that deal with Yom Kippur, namely Parshas Achrimos, where the Avodas Yom Kippurim is delineated, and in Parshas Pinchas, where we talk about the Musafim. There too, Mikra Kodesh, normally associated with Kol Melechas Avodah Lo Sa'asu, is connected to V'nisem, and Isur Malacha, Kol Malacha, is connected with the uniqueness of Yom Kippur, which is very inspiring. Meaning, in all the places where the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur, the pattern of its unusual treatment, right, is the same. Okay, that's important to know. Oh, okay. So the most, if I had to ask, you know, what of the two manifestations of Yom Kippur, I'm leaving out the Avoda today because we spoke about that last couple of years. There are three manifestations, really, of Yom Kippur. And I believe that they're all three connected. One is, of course, the Avodas Yom Kippurim, which we're not talking about this evening. But by the way, something which I did mention in the other times when we dealt with it, the Rambam begins Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim with the words, B'yom Hatzom. Right? We all know that you fast on Yom Kippur. And is the fast connected to the details of Avodas Yom Kippurim? Not obviously, although we'll get, if we have a chance, we'll get to an interesting conjunction. The first words that the Rambam uses in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim are, in my opinion, his way of saying, I put this in Sefer Avoda because it's about the Karbanos, and it's going to be very Karbanos detailed. But you should know that if you really understand Yom Kippur, you really understand that Shvisas Asar and the Tzom and Avodas Yom Kippurim, right, or to say the way we've been saying it, the full complement of Yisur Malacha, the Tzom, and the role of the Kohen Gadol and the nature of Avodas Yom Kippurim are all one large theme. What is that theme? How do we understand it? So I think that the most unusual Avodah side of the two of Isur Malacha and V'nisem, of course, is V'nisem. Right? We have Isur Malacha, even we don't have Isur Kol Malacha. We have it in Shabbos, right? Although it doesn't seem to parallel, and that's part of our question. We have it in Yontif. There are other ways we can explain the heterochal nefesh discrepancy in terms of Suda V'Simcha, obviously, and even if we don't, it could, you know, it could remain a question. But V'nisem Esnaf Shoseichem, right, that is totally unusual. Right, if you ask the man in the street, even the halachic man in the street, you know, what's the most salient feature of Yom Kippur, not in the time of the Avoda, they'll tell you the fast. You're not going to tell you the Isur Malacha. I can't believe it, you know, it's only a Yom Tov and there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh. Not likely, right? So what is this V'nisem? So if we look more carefully at V'nisem, number one, it's the only Doraisa fast day. Right? And typically, fasting, you know, sigufim, ascetic, you know, expressions, you know, aside from here or there, a nazir, you know, and that's not fasting either, right? That's a very specific, you know, discipline. But the idea of fasting, per se, right, is not such a simple thing in halakha. V'nisem, the expression, V'nisem is not Shoseichem. To afflict your soul is strange. I mean, self-inflicted, pain, right, is not a Jewish concept, right? You're not allowed to do srito salames and so on and so forth. You're not allowed to be chovel as atzmecha, right? I'm not saying this is comparable to that, but I'm just saying it's a striking thing. Again, we have so many fast days, you know, that it's not so unusual for us. It's a longer one, right? Because we have Tisha B'Av and we have, the other Tzomos. But think about it. This is Midaraisa, there's only one Tzom. And that's Yom Kippur. And if you don't do it, you're Chayav Kares. Also a very, very severe punishment. So what is this all about? But more than that, is it's very striking the way that the Torah speaks about this fast day. And that in two senses. Number one, it formulates it in the positive and not in the negative. How come the Torah didn't just say, that you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to drink? Why does it say that you're obligated, v'nisem esnaf shoseichem, v'kol nefesh asher lo te'uneh? There are three references to the fast in these psukim in Amar, and every one uses the language of Inui. Not one of them the language of Achiloshti. And that's important for two reasons. Number one, you would expect Achiloshtia, the language of Achiloshtia, when you're not allowed to eat Trefus and the Velos and Pigul and Nosar, right? The Torah says, Lo Sochal, Lo Yeachel, Chametz, whatever it is. The word Achila, Shtia, is completely absent from the presentation. That's number one. And number two is it's all in the positive and not in the negative. Where's the lav for this karis? Again, I'm not going to read inside because you know I wasn't able to make a sheet, and you know you'll. But I'll just tell you what some of the makoros say. The Gemara discusses both of these questions. The Gemara is troubled by the fact that there's no lav in the Torah. It doesn't say you're not allowed to eat anywhere. It's only an asay. Gemara says, why isn't it formulated as a lav? So originally the Gemara has suggestions because it's impossible. We couldn't find the right language. Torah couldn't find the right language to do so. Torah couldn't find the right language to do so? Right? It'll come out a double negative. It'll imply halachos that aren't correct. Eventually, the conclusion of the Gemara in Yuma, in the last parak, is the Gemara says, that's ridiculous. I mean, they're a bona shalom. You know, it's not that hard. I mean, people can figure out an easy formulation. Lo sasur, you know, min ha'inui, the Gemara says. Then finally, the Gemara says, you're right. You can say lo sasur min ha'inui. Why don't we? Why don't they? To make it a lav? Kasha. No answer. It's a very strange phenomenon. I mean, the Rabbana Shalom can accomplish Zohar, B'Shamar, B'Dibur Echad, and all of the Aseres HaDibros. You know, making any ventriloquist look like a third-rate... but he can't come up with a formulation to teach us a lav of Achil on Yom Kippur?
Is there a concept of lav of Amir Ba'oesed?
That's the Gemara discusses it. They say, if you said lav, this pen, or Hishamer, these are all the Gemaras on Dapay, Pe'alef. I don't want to sit so late, I don't want to read, but... But the Gemara says, then finally, the Gemara says, so say, lo sasur, right, min ha'inui. Says the Gemara, you're right, kasha. And until that point, they thought their bona shalom didn't have enough chalila ingenuity. Okay, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that these are intentional, you know, formulations in the Torah, clearly. From Sajigon, only counts v'nisem as a mitzvah saseh. The Gemara itself, addressing this question, says, listen, there's no lo saseh. We don't know why. We don't have a pasuk, but there is a lo saseh because ein onshin elim kein mazhirin. Right? So I've my phrase now. There's a virtual lo saseh. There's an implicit lo saseh. The onesh, right, signifies a lav. Where and what other parsha do we have a virtual lav? The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Shvi'is HaSasar, codifying the Gemara, that line in the Gemara, says as follows. Second. Mitzvah Karas Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim, Lishbos Me'achilo Ushtia, Shenemer Ta'anu Es Nafsho Seichem. The Pia Shmuel Lamdu Inui Chil Menefesh Zeratzon. The Kol Ha'ocha, the Shos of Bitl Asay of Avra Los Asay, Shenemar, Kil Kol Nefesh Asher Lo Teune, the Etzam Ayom Azeh V'Nikrosa. Ma'achar Sh'onar Sh'akosav Kares, Lemi Shalot Esane, Lamadnu, Shem Muzharim Anu, Alachilo Shtira. As the Rambam codifies, Minyan the Mitzvos, a virtual lav. Rab Sajigon only counts the Asay. Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo, who wrote, you know, the magnum opus on Rav Sajigon, or some people think that he created it, is of the opinion that Rav Sajigon typically does not count Essen and Lavin unless there's nafkamina between them, unlike the Rambam, who counts Essen and Lavin. And says Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo, when Rav Sajigon has a choice, He could count either an asse or a lav, and he doesn't count both. He will almost always count the asse. However, if you look in, say, for Mitzvah Sad Yigon, other mitzvos, there are many exceptions to this rule. There are many times when Rav Sad Yigon only counts Laban, not Esse, when he doesn't count both. Rabbi Ruchem Fischer Perlow thinks that the default is he counts Esse, but what's the rule? So I think that the answer is, this is important if it's true, is that Rav Sad Yigon counts what he thinks really captures the spirit of what the Torah wants. When there's an asse and a lav, or one or the other, right? It isn't just a question of, you know, how many times you violate and the severity of the onish or the violation, right? Basically, the question is, are we dealing with isurim or kiyumim? Are we dealing with prohibited activities, heinous crimes, or are we dealing with opportunities and the bypassing of opportunities which constitute, in some cases, a heinous crime? When the Torah chooses only to emphasize v'nisa mitznach shaseichem, even though it could have formulated a lab, and naturally for kares, it would be more anticipated, more expected, that it would formulate a lab. It's the Torah's way of saying, don't think of v'nisa mitznach shaseichem as a burden and as an iser. Really, if you understand Yom Kippur properly and you immerse yourself in its Kedushas Hayom, you'll understand that v'nisa mitznach shaseichem dafka on Yom Kippur, not the rest of the year, is a kiyum. It's a positive way of relating to the day. And for that reason, Rav Sad Yigon, since he's only going to count one, counts the one that is explicit, but the one that is explicit because it really characterizes what the day is all about. For the same reason, in my opinion, in the same way we have to look at the second problem that the Gemara deals with. Gemara wants to know, how come the word achila and shtiyah is never used? This is the fast day. The only fast day in the Torah. Lo su'uneh, v'inisem, kol asher lo su'uneh. Why all the, why not just go straight? Say, lo sa'al, lo so'chal, lo so'chlu, al tishtu. So the Gemara says, Gemara asks this question, Shina kasuv, they don't use the language of achila and shtiya, because they wanted to teach you that the shir is the shir of kosevas agas. Instead of the regular shir of kazayis, it's kosevas agas. How do you understand that, Gemara? There are two ways to understand it. One way is, what's also on Yom Kippur is achila and shtiya. The Torah used a different phrase to be megala mil, to teach us certain halachos. Kulas, chumras, the shir is a different shir. Shina kasuv, lalami. That's certainly a very legitimate way to read the Gemara. It's certainly the way the Gemara was read by many. However, I think a much more compelling way to read the Gemara, and what the Gemara is telling us is, the Torah doesn't use the language of achila shtiya, and it hints at a different shiur, because while achila and shtiya are the ways that you violate, it's not a technical violation. The violation is not doing the aseya being nisa mesnaf shoseicha, or to use the language of the Gemara, the shiur of kosevas hagasa is not a shiur in achila, it's a shiur in yisuve daite, in the experience of being in a state of inui, or in a state of svia, satisfaction. Svia has a connotation of complacency, lack of urgency, right? Being satisfied with what you have. V'inisa means that you're stirred to reassess your situation, and you're in a state in which physical needs are a distraction. They're not a negative per se. This is a day for you to express the kiyumim of being a spiritual being, to outdo the malach, not as a competition, but in the inspiration of a day of amida lifnei Hashem. The shir of Koseva Sagasa Yisuvei Daite is about the experience, the positive experience, of being Nisan Esnaf Shasech. Gemara says that the shir of Shtia is Melol Ugmav, a cheekful, and that Ugmelach HaBashan had a different shir than you or I. Ask the Gemara, but everybody has the shir of Koseva Sagasa, how come in Achila there's an objective shir, and in Shtia there's a subjective shir? Gemara says we have a Mesorah, Kimlanu, maybe it comes from the doctors, and Mesorah, it doesn't really matter, that when it comes to Achila, Yisuvei Daite is accomplished by an objective amount. But when it comes to drinking, people's Yisuvei Daite is determined very subjectively. Similarly, Mishnah says there's no tziruf of Achila or Shtia when it comes to Yom Kippur. One day in the Gemara is there never is, even another dinim. When there are two different shiurim, you can't be mitzarif, the achila and the shtia, even for the minimum of one of them. Second day in the Gemara in Pe'alef in Yuma. In other achilas and shtias, you can be mitzarif, the lowest common denominator of achila and shtia. But when it comes to Yisuvei Daite, achila l'chud and shtia l'chud. Yisuvei Daite, in other words, is an experience. The Gemara earlier in the Parak had a Havamina. It says, V'nisim esnaf shosechem. Maybe you should have to proactively, right, afflict yourself. Maybe you should have to, you know, find, you know, a blazing sun to sit in or a very cold spot, right? Fascinating. The Gemara says, well, there's also an equation in the Psukim between Isur Malacha and V'nisim. Just like Isur Malacha is b'shev al ta'aseh, so is V'nisim. The Havamina that you would have to do something to accomplish the kiyum of V'nisim is fascinating. It's rejected, but again, it highlights this idea. We're not talking about an Isur. There is a virtual Isur to not take all the opportunity provided by the kiyum. But the mitzvah, the kiyum, the immersion, the headiness, the inspiration of V'nisim, b'snaf shel sechem, is the Mechayev, and therefore the Shir is Koseves Hagasa, and the experience of Yisuvei Daita, sometimes subjective, sometimes objective, etc. Minchas Chinuch has a very famous discussion. He wants to know, since the Shir is Koseves Hagasa in Yom Kippur, says, so maybe we should say that, even there's a debate in Chulin, between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Achila and Kol HaTorah Kula requires Hanas Grono or Hanas Me'ayim. In other words, it's the joy you get from tasting, your palate, I guess, your throat, or is it the digestion? Says the Minchas Chinuch, since Yom Kippur is Yisuvei Daite, it's Koseves Hagasa, it's not Achila, there's a similar discussion about Birchas Hamazon, V'chalta, V'savata, V'sviya. So maybe everybody agrees with Reish Lakish that it's Hanas Me'ayim. And he goes on to discuss, only L'chumra or also L'kula, do you need both? Do you need either one? Like, you know, intravenous, things of that sort. Ah, so then the Minchas Chinuch asks the following question. He says, the only thing is, this is what I really think. I think that on Yom Kippur you should require Hanas Me'ayim in order to violate. As a chumra, maybe even as a kula, you would violate. He said, the only thing that bothers me is when the Gemara says, Shina Kasuv, that the Torah doesn't use the language of Achila, that is to teach us the din of Koseva Sagasa. Why didn't they say to teach us that when it comes to Yom Kippur, everything is dependent on Hanas Me'ayim? Says the Minchas Chinuch, maybe the Gemara is neutral, the Gemara is even a Liba de Reish Lakish. So for him, there's no nafkamina because it's always that way. But if you ask me the answer to that question, I would say, when the Gemara says, Shina Kosov to teach you Koseva Sagasa, what the Gemara is really saying is, not that there's a chilab with a different shir, but V'nisa Mesnaf Shosechem is a kiyum. V'nisa Mesnaf Shosechem, which is expressed in its fullest by Achilo Shtia, is whether it takes you from the state of Inisem into a state of Yisuvei Daite. We don't only mean Koseva Sagasa. The Gemara wasn't looking for a single Nafkamina Gili Milsa. Koseva Sagasa proves or demonstrates that we're dealing with a different category completely. Oh. If this is the case, so we can understand many, many issues that come up with respect to Achilas Yom Kippurim. It's late, so I'm not going to go into that, but Achatzishir and Shalom Kederech, Achilaso, and Chometz, and Achilagasa, meaning the normal rules of Achila in Hilchos Macholas Asuros, do they apply to Yom Kippur, which has a different shir, Achilas of Kosevas Agasa? Just like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's discussion of Hanas Gerono and Hanas Me'ayim may be affected. So yeah, I'll give you one, Achila Gasa, right, if you overeat. So the Gemara in Yuma, Pei Aleph, Pei Beis, has a special limud, Asher lo su'uneh prat le'achila gasa. Right? But when it comes to other dinim, doesn't seem like we need that gzeras hakasu. Normally it's understood that achila gasa is considered mazik below achila. Yet when it comes to Yom Kippur, you need a separate limud. Rashi and the Rambam, for example, in Hilchos Shvi'is Asar, came up with a big chiddush. In Hilchos Trumos, he says, if you eat truma, achila gasa, there's no, you don't pay a chomesh. Because that's not achila, it's mazik. In Yom Kippur, in Shvi'is Asar, he says, if you eat achila gasa in Yom Kippur, you're patur, because the food, after the point where you've reached achila gasa, is like eating ochlim she'enam ru'uyim. Very big chiddush. Why does he have a totally different explanation? Right? The Yerushalmi has a line in which it says that even though the Reish Lakish is of the opinion generally that Chatzi Shir is mutter min HaTorah, there's a debate between the Reish Lakish and the Reish Lakish. We pass from the Chatzi Shir, less than a Shir of the is Osir min HaTorah, that's Rabbi Yochanan. But Reish Lakish is of the opinion of Chatzi Shir mutter min HaTorah. The Yerushalmi in Trumo says that Reish Lakish agrees in three cases. A Chatzi Shir is Osir min HaTorah. One case is Yisra Hanah, as opposed to Yisra Achila. The other case is if Dato Lechol Shir Shalem, when he eats the Chatzi Shir, he intends to eat more. And the third example is Yom Kippur. All of these regular dinam of Achila are open to question. Now again, if Achila's Kosevas Agasa is just a Shir, and the Torah didn't use the expression Achila Ushtiyah, but what's really Asar Yom Kippur is Achila Ushtiyah, then the regular dinim should apply. The shirei tziruf, kedechilas pras, chatzi shir, achila kederech or shalom kederech, achila gasa. All these rules should apply typically. But if the shiur of Yisuvei Daita isn't just a shiur, it's about the experience of Yom Kippur, then every one of them is open l'chumra and l'kula to being reassessed. And we find a lot of distinctions. In the Poskim, in the Tur and Bach, in the Rishonim, etc. Oh, let me highlight one. What happens if you eat Macholas Asuras? Do you make a bracha or not? There's a major debate between the Rambam and the Ra'ivid in Hukos Brachos. Rambam's of the opinion, if you eat Macholas Asuras, right, then you are not exempt, you're not allowed to make a bracha. The Ra'ivid disagrees. What's that? Einzem mevarech ela menayitz. Wait, so that's the view of the Rama. You don't make a bracha. The Ra'ivid says you make a bracha. You just don't have a zimun. Right? So the Ritva and the Ra'ah agree with the Rama. They think that you don't make a bracha on Makalas Asuras. And they go for it. I like the Rama, they say. Even Pikuach Nefesh. If you're in a state of Pikuach Nefesh, and you have to eat Macholas Asuras Daraisa, in their opinion, you don't make a bracha. Still a Chefza Shalisa. However, an Isa Drabanan, if there's a Heter Pikuach Nefesh, then you'll make a bracha. That's the view of the Ra'ah and the Ritva. What about Yom Kippur? Ah. Yom Kippur's Daraisa. Says the Ritva and the Ra'ah, really, I should say on the Ritva, really, even though it's Daraisa, they don't add the words even though it's Daraisa, if you're Mesedet Pikuach Nefesh on Yom Kippur, you should make a bracha. What do they mean? Because it's not Macholos Asuros, right? It's all food. It's an Iser Gavra. And if it's a Heter Gavra, because Pikuach Nefesh, there's no Chetza Shali, but all of a sudden your Cheerios that, you know, that grace your table every single day and give you sustenance, they became Macholos Asuros on Yom Kippur. You can't eat anything, not because everything is Macholos Asuros, but because there's an Iser Achil. But if there's a Heter Achil, you should make up, but that's their view. However, they add, let's see if I can find the line. Terrific line. Yeah. Vadino Sein, Chen Kasaramba, 1 second. Yeah. Oh. Avomisha Hutzor Klecho, Bioma Kippur, Machmaskoli, Afavishamutar, right? And therefore, you should make a bracha. Nira vadai de ein levarich klal. I don't think people paskin this way, but this is an amazing line. Bein lefanav, bein laachrav. De lav hano lo elatzara. Afagav de lo efshad lo misani. And so on. The Ra'ah says, you won't make a bracha because it's so painful for you to have to eat on Yom Kippur. How many cholas, you know, masukans? I mean, actually, I think people do experience that. That's a very powerful line, very powerful idea. So again, I like to quote this line. I don't know where it comes from originally. They're obvious to quote it a lot. I have to pin it down and find out who he was quoting it from. The line goes something like, it's a comparison between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. And it goes something like, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you know, 2 days that seem very similar, but are totally different. Right, Tisha B'Av is a terrible day. Right, it's a day of tragedy. Even if you could, right, you wouldn't really be able to eat. Yom Kippur, such an inspirational day. Why would anybody want to eat? Something like that. That's what the Ritva and the Ra'ah are saying. Right, you have to eat. You're a Chol HaMasukan, but there's no joy in it. It's Yom Kippur. Binisim Asnaf Shel Seichem is an experience. It's part of Amidah Lifnei Hashem. It's part of establishing, it's you and your heady, once a year, spiritual, right? High, or whatever you want to call it. That's not something that's burdensome. It's a kiyum. It's Binisim Asnaf Shel Seichem. What's the other side of that? Kol malacha lo sasu. Why? Because like Shabbos, but for a totally different reason, but for a parallel reason, this is what we mean by Shabbos Shabbason, intrinsic Yisra malacha applies to Yom Kippur. On Shabbos, it's kivo shavas mikol malachto ha-shabar lekim lasos. But on Yom Kippur, it's not just the tzura of a Yom Kodesh, which it is on Yom Tov. We don't have that generic aspect of Yom Kippur. Especially according to the Rambam. It's Kiyom Kippurim who there's an Isra of Kol Malacha. Even Heter Ochol Nefesh. Because like Achila, Malacha is a way that we express our physicality in a good way. Just as eating and drinking is good all year round. It's our creativity, it's our humanity, our physicality humanity. On Yom Kippur, a day of Amidah Lifnei Hashem, which we're totally focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam and our relationship and our spiritual capacity and our standing like Malachim and screaming Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Le'olam Va'ed. On that day, Kol Malacha is Asur. Not just even Heter Ochol Nefesh. That's why the Torah goes back and forth. There's no, the Mikra Kodesh, V'Nisem, Kol Malacha, it's all Ki Yom Kippurim. Let me take it one step. I know I'm a little over time, but I want to connect it to my, I'd say something about a bris mila, right? Said I would. So the Gemara in Yuma establishes that the Ish Iti, when he was carrying the Sira Mishtaleach, right, he was offered by the people at each stage. They said, listen, you know, is it too much for you? Maybe you need something to eat, like, you know, like a good Jewish mother, you know. They kept offering him food. The Gemara also says that there never was an Ishiti, you know, who had to eat. It's also fascinating. Right? And the Rambam paskins is, it sounds in the Gemara, that if he did, that he could. Right? So the Rav used to say in the name of his father, how do we know this din? Where does it say anywhere? What's the makar that you could, that the Ishiti, if he had to, could break his fast? Right? Minale, there's no Gemara that ever tells us what the makar is. So he thought that the makar is the fact that for the sake of the avoda, you can do malacha on Shabbos, you can do Isra malacha. Okay, but what does that have to do with the tzol? So not based necessarily on the psukim that I mentioned before, or on the fact that, oh, I think partially yes, based on the fact the Rambam and Shvisa Sasar integrates Isra malacha b'Shabbos and v'nisim esnaf shaseichem, all under the rubric of Shvisas Asar, as different as they seem to be. At one point he talks about the Inuyim, right, as being a function of, there are two girsos in the Rambam, you know, Shvisa me'achiva u'shtia and Shvisa me'ay, the rest of the Inuyim. Or Shvisa me'malacha and Shvisa from the Inuyim. There are two girsos in the Rambam. Second girsa may not be right, it's hard to know. But if it is, it's more intriguing. Right? So Moshe Soloveitchik suggested the reason the Ish Iti could be Mechalel the Tzom, if he needed to, is because you can be Mechalel the Isra Malacha for the Avoda, if you need to. These are two sides of the same coin. But he didn't explain, as far as I know, like, in what sense are they the same? Right? And again, I mentioned before, it's the avoda takes place biyom matzon. That's the first words that the Rambam uses. But according to what we're suggesting, it's all three of these are one. They're all kulo lashem, either the sir bifnim or sir lazazo. That's the choice on Yom Kippur. Right? It's the day, I like to call it the day of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is the personality of Kulo Lashem. And therefore there's a complete disengagement from Malacha, not because of Kivosh Havas we call Malachto, but because of the Nisam Esnaf Shosechem Ki Yom Kippurimu, the Tahar Eskan. So what's true for one is true for the other because they're really two sides of Ki Bayom HaKippurimu. There aren't two completely different demons. Yes, and then I'm going to finish. Yeah.
Does the Gemara answer why the HDT doesn't need, on the psychological term, any Doma Pastus,
Yishishal? You tell him so he knows he could. Right. Good psychology. But I think the Gemara means more. He never needed to do it. I think that's important because I'm thinking of the Ritva, you know. He would have been bizarre. He couldn't bring himself to do it. Oh. So the Rav once said that Rav Chaim, this is my Mila connection, Rav Chaim was mistapek, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who is of the opinion that Machshirei Mila are Docha Shabbos, right? So let's say the Moel at a bris, you know, is feeling squeamish or faint. And the only way you can do the bris is to break his fast. Right? When you have a fast on Yom Kippur, that's why we have to compare notes. So one of the there are two challenging issues. One is, when do you do it exactly? Before Ashrei, after Ashrei, before you know, Hachnasa Sefer Torah, after? It's an interesting question. And the other question is, what do you do with the Bari Pri Agafen? Right, the Mechaber in the Ordeah says you don't say it. But the Ramah says you do say it. And then there's a question, well, what do you do with the drinking? Right. Ramah says you give it to the Tinoch. No. The Aruch HaShulchan says he doesn't think that's called drinking. You know, so you give it to a katan who's under the age of chinuch, probably. You remember what they did? What did they do?
Josh,
that's what they did?
Josh.
What?
Josh.
Okay. Josh is the perfect at the time.
Right.
Okay. That's like good for me to know next time I see you. Like, some ammunition, you know. So the... but let's say the Moel can't proceed unless he eats something. It's like Machshirei Mila. So he said Reb Chaim was Mestapek or Moshe was Mestapek. You know, we know that when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, right? According to Abelazar, we don't pass him like Abelazar. The Machshirei Mila Dochin Asa Shabbos, you do what you have to do. But the same thing applied to the Tzom. Because on Yom Kippur, they're two sides of the same coin. We don't pass them like Rabbi Lazar, so, you know, it's a moot point. But it's a fascinating question. But in the end of the day, what I'd like to just conclude with is how we began, which is that the Torah, from the very first word, just defines Yom Kippur with the word Ach, and then with the rest of it, in such a way that Yom Kippur is unique. And that even... It's not that, oh, you know, it's Zichron Shua or Achilas Matzah. You know, is it Zvi Nisan Aznav Shoseichem? And it also has an Isur Malacha. One that's a little more chomer than the other ones. It's much more than that. The day of Yom Kippur is a day which is singular. And it's a day of Kulol Hashem. And then that is expressed in these two ways. In the Kiyum of Zvi Nisan, of rejecting the complacency of Yisuve Daite and embracing and immersing oneself in the heady spirituality of the Nisan Asnaf Shel Seichem, as well as in disengaging from not just Malacha Savoda, but from Kol Malacha. It's a Shabbos Shabbason in the sense that of intrinsic Yisur Malacha, in the sense that it's a day in which Yisur Malacha is a stira fundamentally to the, not to the generic Yom Tov aspect, but to what Yom Kippur is really all about. And therefore both of these elements together, the Yisur Malacha and the Tzom and the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim B'Yom HaTzom, really combine to establish an unbelievable opportunity. We're blinded by it often, because of the fact that the onshim are so chamor, right, the kares, and it's such a difficult, you know, process, you know, for us, you know, to undertake. But that itself is a reflection of the greatness of the opportunity. Bypassing such an opportunity, right, constitutes an egregious, you know, almost a kind of a heinous, you know, crime, because it you know, wastes, you know, what Tzelem Elokim, you know, was intended to accomplish to begin with. In that sense, as we said in other years, Yom Kippur is a day of Achas Bashana. It's a day that comes once, it can only come once a year. I said in the past, there are practical reasons why there's no Yontif Sheni Shogolios, you know, in Yom Kippur, but I believe that it's just as well. You almost can't have a second day of Yom Kippur. You know, that's part of its persona, you know, is its being one day and a singular day. But it's a day that really defines our avoda for the entire year. So I want to wish everybody a Gmar Sima Tova, Shnas Chaim Shalom. Look forward to Bava Kama on October 8th. Okay. With, hopefully with the Maron Komos.